one passage, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So please be opening there. We'll look at a number of other passages, but we're just going to be developing what the Apostle Paul says in that one. Before we get started, I want to just thank the members of this congregation for having Sandy and me to come up and be with you here in Aldi. My wife is originally from Southern Illinois. She was born in West Frankfort. It's always a pleasure for her and for me also to get back to Southern Illinois and to see the land of my wife's nativity. And she had a cousin who lived here in Aldi, and an uncle who retired here to Aldi. So there's some background there. And we're looking forward to this. And so sorry last year that I had the health problems when I was able to come and meeting or do or preach the meeting last year when the elders of the church were so gracious. I'll never forget your kindness and graciousness to allow me to come this year, although I could not come last year when I was scheduled, and I appreciate that so very, very much. I won't forget that. Now, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, for the text of our lesson. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the reading of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. A number of years ago, there were two teenage girls who were baptized on a Sunday morning. Church of Christ in Lakeland, Florida. I was not the preacher there. This happened before I preached there. And one of those young women remained faithful, as far as I know, to this day. And that was a long time ago. She still, in fact, that was back in the 80s. She remains faithful to this day. The other young woman, they were sisters. And the other young woman walked down the aisle and was baptized that same Sunday morning. Never darkened the door of the building. I don't remember her being there, and she just almost immediately fell away and never served the Lord after. Two young women, two teenage girls, sisters, raised by the same parents, baptized the same day. One remains faithful to this day, one almost immediately fell away. One was crucified with Christ. One got wet. What's the difference between being crucified and getting wet? What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? How are we crucified with Christ? There's five questions I want to ask about being crucified with Christ this evening, and let the scriptures, primarily the Apostle Paul, answer the questions. The first is, how? What is the method? How are we crucified with Christ? Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, so we also should be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now the resurrection he's talking about there is the likeness of Jesus' resurrection. It's not the same as his resurrection. So he's talking about the resurrection from spiritual death to spiritual life. And Jesus was raised from physical death to physical life. In baptism, well, we're going to show a chart on this in just a moment. We go through a likeness of his death, and we're buried in the water grave of baptism. And there we die to the guilt of sin. Before that, we've died to the practice of sin when we repented. And then we died to the guilt of sin when we were buried in the water grave of baptism. And just as Jesus was raised from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea to everlasting life, so we are raised to spiritual life, and in a likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him before we were baptized. If you really were crucified with Christ before you were baptized, You repented of your sins and made the determination in your heart as part of that repentance to sin, that your life is going to be lived in a likeness of the life that Jesus Himself lived while He was on this earth. You're going to strive from that point on to walk in the steps of your Master. And when you did that, then you crucified that old man of sin. The body of sin might be done away with. It was done away with when we were baptized, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Here's a chart that illustrates this point. And we're going to ahead and say more about it when we get down to verses 17 and 18 of the same chapter. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And on the third day, He was raised to everlasting life, never to experience death again. When we repent of our sins, we die to the love and to the practice of sin. We make the determination in our hearts that we're going to live our lives in a likeness of the way that Jesus lived. We're going to walk in the steps of the Master from that point on. That's what repentance is, putting off the old man of sin and determining that we're going to live in a new way, in the way that Jesus lived. And then, in a declaration of our giving our lives to Jesus, we submit to water baptism, and as Jesus was lowered into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, our bodies are lowered into the watery grave of baptism. And as Jesus on the third day was raised to a new life, so we are also raised from the watery grave of baptism to a new life, a life that is in Christ Jesus, a life that is spiritual, where we are to walk in the likeness of Jesus our Lord. So the how that we're crucified with Christ is by being baptized in water for the remission of our sins. The apostle develops this idea further in verses 17 and 18 of Romans chapter 6. He says, "But God be thanked that although you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Notice, he doesn't say you obeyed the doctrine. The doctrine, the teaching that he's talking about, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We obey a form of that doctrine. The word form means a likeness, a blueprint, a pattern, a mold. Baptism, water baptism, is a likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we're baptized in water, then we're going through a likeness of that doctrine that we believe that is the basis of our salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The basis of our salvation is not what we do. We have to meet some conditions. But the basis of our salvation is what Jesus did for us on the cross, when He willingly died for us, gave His life for our salvation, and was buried and rose again. We go through the likeness of that, and we're showing to the world when we do that. We're showing to the world that we're placing our trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And in doing that, we're obeying a likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection. Notice, and then verse 18, and having been set free from sin, when we go through that likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, by repenting of our sins, being baptized in water for the remission of our sins, and being raised to a new life, and as we've already just seen in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 6, 4 through 6, we gain entrance into Him, we're baptized into Him, that is, into a saved relationship with Him, and we're baptized into His death, that is, we receive the benefits of His death. His blood was shed in His death. We receive, Romans chapter 5, verses 8, 9, and 10, and so we receive the benefits of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How? When, having repented of our sins, we're buried in the water and grave of baptism, raised to walk in a new life, then we receive the benefits of the blood of Christ, the benefits of His death for us. Our sins are forgiven, and we're walking in a new life, a life no longer living for ourselves, but now living in the likeness of Jesus Christ, walking in the steps of the Master. How are we crucified with Christ? By being baptized into Him. Well, what happens when one is crucified with Christ? Well, when Jesus was crucified, He died. That's simply what crucifixion is. It was the Roman method, one of those cruel methods of execution. that any people had ever come up with. In John chapter 19, verses 16 through 18, we read how that Pontius Pilate delivered him up to be crucified, and they took him and they nailed him to the cross, and there he hung on the cross for a space of about 6 hours. And then after that had transpired, there was darkness over all the face of the earth for 3 hours. And then the soldiers came around to make sure that they were dead. And so, and of course, you know, he was crucified between two thieves. And they broke the legs of the thieves from either side of Jesus. We read about this in John 19, verses 30 through 34. And they came to Jesus. And they saw that he was dead already. And these men were veterans. This was a death party. This was a crucifixion. That was their job, was putting to death condemned prisoners of the Romans. And so they knew when a man was dead or not. But they made doubly sure. In order to make sure that he was dead, one of the soldiers with a spear thrust upward and pierced his side. And John says, forthwith came there out blood and water. And of course, the medical people say that mixture of clear liquid and blood is an indication that the pericardium, the sac around the heart, had ruptured. He literally died of a broken heart. His heart ruptured. And the blood and the water came out together. Jesus died. In his death, his blood was shed. And when we go through that, we go through a likeness of that death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus died on the cross for us, when we go through a likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection and baptism, we die to the love and the practice of sin. When we're crucified with Jesus, we die to sin. We don't go on sinning anymore. We make up our minds. From this point on, my life is going to be lived free from sin. Now, I'm not saying that we never sin after that point. But you make the determination, when you repent of your sins, you make the determination that no longer am I going to live for sin as I did before. You know, that old song that Frank Sinatra sang, I still hear it on the radio. There's a radio station down where we live that plays the oldies. And from time to time they play the Frank Sinatra song that's so popular, I Did It My Way. And that's the world. That's the way of the world. I cannot think. By the way, I turn the radio off when that comes on. I cannot think of a more ungodly song. I did it my way. No, I'm doing it the Lord's way. When I was crucified with Jesus, I made the determination, no longer am I living for myself. No longer am I living my way. My way is the way to death. My way is the way of sin. My way is the way to hell. I'm living the Lord's way. I'm walking in the Lord's steps. I'm living the way He would have me to live. As Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, that's my way, that our old man was crucified with him. I put that old man to death, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Frank Sinatra was the slave of sin. How do you know that, preacher? Because he said so. I did it my way. He's claiming he's the slave of sin. And the person's walking the way he wants to walk. His own self-will, that person is living a life of death. But we died to that love and practice of sin, and we came alive to Jesus Christ. We died to self. I don't do it my way. I do it the Lord's way. That's my determination. That must be your determination. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 talked about what he gave up in order to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ. And all of those things meant nothing more to him than a manure pile, just a heap of rubbish. His Judaism and all the fame that he had and the power that he had as a Jewish leader, he gave all of that up to serve Christ. And what did he say about those things? But what things were gained to me? Those things that had been my life. His life was Judaism. All of those things that he did it his way. What things were gained to me? These I have counted loss. For Christ. Paul is looking there. I call that Paul the accountant. On one side of the ledger, there's the things of Christ. On the other side of the ledger, the things that meant everything to Paul when he was following Judaism. Those were his life. Those were the most important things in his life. And now he looks at those things and they're lost. they're on the debit side of the ledger. They're in the red column. The only things that mean anything is on the side of doing the will of Christ, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the credit column. Give up all those things that stand in the way of serving Christ, whatever they were, however near and dear they were to you. If they stand in the way of serving Christ, put them as lost. Put them on the debit side. Don't do it your way. Do it the Lord's way. What happens after one is crucified with Christ? Well, after Christ was buried and rose again, He rose to a new life. He rose to everlasting. He rose to eternal life. He never to experience death again. In Romans 6, verse 9, knowing this, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. He's in a glorified body that can never experience death again. Now, we can sin, but after we die to Christ, die to sin when we're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, it becomes our obligation to arise to a new life. There's no longer serving self, no longer living in sin, but a new life of service to Christ Jesus, walking in His steps. Back to our text, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Paul didn't do it his way. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Whatever is the will of Christ, my highest goal and the way that I live must be, I want people to see in my life, not meaning I'm going around showing off, it's just I live this way all the time. Now, I'm not saying I always do this. I'm saying this is my goal. This is what must be your goal as a Christian. My goal is for people to see Christ living in me, and to see the life that I live, and to say that must be the way Jesus lived when He was born. All of us must have that as our goal. We can stumble from time to time, but always have that as our goal. We want Christ to be shown in our lives. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And again, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You died to sin. Put that old man of sin away. No longer live for those things. Live for Christ Jesus. Well, how complete is this union that we have with Christ when we're crucified with Him? Well, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. I'm not doing my will anymore. But Christ lives in me. People must see Christ living in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, how do I live so that Christ is living in me? It means that I must live by faith. The walk with Christ, the walk of one who's been crucified with Christ, the walk of one who is alive in Christ, is the walk of faith. The Apostle Paul summarized everything that it means to be a Christian. He did that in several passages, beautiful passages. Here's another passage that I sometimes take as a text for a sermon. And by the way, there's so much that I can see in this passage, it takes me two sermons to preach it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That little short sentence is the summation of the life of the Christian. Ours is the life of faith, not the life of walking by sight. What does it mean to walk by faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And all that means is, I don't live the way that I think is best. It doesn't make, sometimes people say, well, preacher, what do you think about this? I do my best, always say, it doesn't matter what I think. Let's see what the Lord says in His Word. That's what it means to walk by faith. What I think doesn't amount to any more than what you think. Between the two of us, it's making more than a hill of beans. What we think doesn't prove anything except that's what we think. All that matters is what does Christ say in His Word. That must answer what Christ says in his word must answer every question that we have concerning the kind of life that we must live, that we should live, concerning what we ought to believe, concerning how we ought to worship, concerning every facet of life, so far as pleasing the Lord. It's not what do I think, it's not what do I want, it's what does Christ say in his word. That's the life of faith. His word determines what I believe, what I practice from day to day, and what I tell other people they need to do. His word determines that if I'm walking by faith. And also by walking by faith, it means that my life becomes a reflection of his life. Once again, people should see Christ living in me. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, the Lord himself said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." Our highest goal in life, so far as the way that we live, must be for the world to see Christ living in me. Just to live on this earth the way Jesus lived when he walked upon this earth. And thus Christ becomes my life. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. The Apostle Paul was talking about all the things that he was enduring. He wrote the Philippian letter from prison in Rome. He was in chains. He didn't know whether he was going to live or die. And there were people outside that were talking bad about him. And all of that meant nothing to him so far as he had, as long as he had the salvation of Christ. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now look at that statement. Take the first part of that statement. For me to live, this is my life. This is everything of my life. It encompasses my life. It's what I live for. It's how I live. It's the point of my life. My life is Christ. If I'm a Christian, if I'm serving him, for me to live is Christ. And what's the result? If I die, I get to go and be with the Lord, which is far better. So to die is gain. Now, think about this. Substitute anything you want to in that passage for the word Christ. For to me to live is. Now, how would you put it? Be honest with yourself. For to me to live is money. And to die is to leave it all behind. For to me to live is fame, and to die is to be forgotten. For to me to live is earthly pleasure, and to die is to suffer. For to me to live, and here's one that a lot of people stumble over, for to me to live is family, and to die is to be separated from my family. You put anything you, now your family is important, but your family is not your life. Christ is your life if you're a Christian. You put anything you want to in place of Christ in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, and you cannot make it work. Christ must be our life. The reason we live, the direction we live, the purpose in life, everything about our life is summarized in Christ. He is my life. If I've been crucified with him, well, then why should I be crucified with Christ? There may be somebody here that's never been crucified with Christ. So you might want to know, well, why should I do that? Well, first of all, to be made free from sin. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having," now of course that's baptism. We've already talked about that. That's being baptized. Repenting before, but then being baptized. "Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And so if you want to be set free from the guilt of sin, then you need to be crucified with Christ by repenting and being baptized into him. And then also so that you can live with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 8, "Now if we die with Christ," that's of course by repenting and being baptized, "we believe that we also shall live with him." Well, how is that? Well, look on down later in the chapter. In Romans chapter 6, Verse 23. I believe I went through this passage earlier this week. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Six key words in that passage. Wages, what we earn, what we deserve. We've worked for it, we earned it, we deserve. What is the wages of sin? Those in the world are serving sin. The wages of sin, what is death? What kind of death? Well, look at the exact opposite. It's the law of contrast in the Scriptures. The gift. Gift is the exact opposite of wages. Doesn't mean there's no condition. It means we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It is a conditional gift. The gift of God, God is the opposite of sin, is eternal life. Eternal life is the opposite of death. What we've earned by living in the world for sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God, and eternal devil's hell. But if you will be born again, if you will die with Jesus Christ, if you'll be crucified with Jesus Christ, and then be raised with Him, then you'll receive eternal life with God, rather than death to sin. So if you want to live with Christ, you must be crucified with Him. He was crucified for us, we must be crucified with Him. But the final reason I want to give that you need to be crucified with Christ is because of how much Jesus loved us. How much do you love your mother? Why do you love your mother so much? It's because she loved you so much. The one that did everything for you when you were helpless and couldn't do things for yourself. And for the rest of your life, that mother may not be all she ought to be, but you still love her because she did everything, she provided everything you needed when you're helpless. And even though you cannot look back and remember that time of infancy and when you were a small child, not able to talk and walk, you can't remember those times, but you still have throughout your life. And even after your mother's life is over, you look back and you still love your mother because of how much she loved you. We ought to love Christ because of how much He loved us. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, again, I've been crucified with Christ.